night, and you know, I'm pretty flexible with my interviewing, like time of day, that sort of thing, right? Because, I mean, everyone has jobs and kids or whatever, right? So we set up a time, and then he missed the interview call, and he was so apologetic. He was, like, sending me messages, you know, I'm very, very sorry, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, okay, well, you know, we'll do it Sunday, you know. Even though Sunday is the day I like to put things together and watch some football. But anyway, so we finally hitched up, and we had a chat via phone. And I was taken back with how humble and nice this person, Troy, is from Illitree, is about his music and his career thus far. He actually won a Hamilton Arts Award back in 2016. And he was always on my radar. Like, I couldn't figure out whether, I mean, I spent some of Illitree's music a while ago on the beginning of Steel City Music. And I was always listening via through, like, you know, when I would catch up on music through CFMU, that sort of thing. And he was on some of the Everybody Dance Now discs, the later years ones as well. But it's so funny because listening to his music, you want to do like a little bit of reading ahead of time. Just so you get like the gist of what the artist is, that sort of thing. And he doesn't really have a lot online about who he is. And when you go to his website, it's just Illitree, and it's just a picture of him, the newest album, and a couple links to how to buy the music, and that's it. And I was like, wow, you know, okay. And we talk about that actually in the interview, about his social media and marketing and that sort of thing. And he just really doesn't like, eh, you know, whatever, you know. But during the interview, we spin a lot of the tracks off Deline Horse's, his latest album. And I also threw in a track from Sunset as well, one of the first projects he did with Michael Keir at Threshold. I think that was back in 2015. But he has a friend, Scott Orr, who's a very good musician as well, who has done some mixing and mastering and, you know, has helped him out in his latest venture, that sort of thing. So now, in the interview, we find that there's a story of going to Poland to chase a potential love interest, also to get some inspiration for grabbing his MacBook and get some inspiration for his new album, that sort of thing. And as we all know, inspiration comes from different places. But when I was listening to his music, I jumped to all of these conclusions when I was listening to it. And it's so funny because, like, I had this big thing in my brain about a song called Polish Rose. And the sounds he created, and this was the girl, and you know, and using like Eastern European guitar, and I could see it in my head, but you think for the life of me I could describe it to Troy, right? So we kind of let, I think he kind of left it as, well, you just keep that vision because that's not what, how he envisioned the song. So, and we do that, right? We build up music, attach memory or vision to it, and that's why we love it so much. Anyway, it's an hour and 17 minutes of chit chat and music, that sort of stuff. But it's podcast style, but it's really good. And I'm so happy I had a chance to chat with him. You could check him out on January 30th online, part of Hamilton Winterfest. Go to hamiltonwinterfest.ca for more info. My next guest is someone who I'm just going through some technical stuff with, yapping about life, finishing BAs, oh God, and you know, and birthdays, and is now the time, I guess it might be the time to start something or to finish something. On the line with me right now is Illitree, Troy from Illitree, actually, and we were just discussing, before we started the interview, how we haven't crossed paths, or did we? So, We are both in the same world of Hamilton, Ontario. We have similar friends, but have we not met before?
I actually don't think we have.
So strange. Well, you're turning... Yeah. How old are you turning in the next couple of days? 33? 34?
I'm turning 33 on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Okay. I guess is just a great segue to start a whole conversation, because I was going to reach out to my pal, Jamie Tennant, or at CFMU.
Yes.
Jamie and I used to put out the CNC music discs years ago, and we both worked on Supercrawl in the early years, that sort of thing. Did an Illitree track ever end up on the Everybody Dance Now discs?
I think it did. I know Jamie... Yeah, I think, like, when I released that EP like five years ago, or however long that was, I think, and I don't remember which song it was. Most likely the song Runaways. That was kind of the song I was pushing the most.
Was that off of the Sunset EP?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. See, that would have been the CFMU version of Everybody Dance Now, because I used to work at C101, and that's when Jamie and I started the whole thing. And then I left the radio station, and Jamie and Sandy carried on with Everybody Dance Now. So I do remember seeing your music on the disc, the later versions of them. So that might be it. Or it might be I just been absorbing your music through other friends, that sort of stuff, like Kristen Archer from I Heart Hamilton, that sort of thing.
I just actually looked in my email. It looks like it was the song Wildberry.
Oh, Wildberry. Did you not do a video for Wildberry?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I caught that the other day when I was just doing some flipping through some stuff about you. And it had a really great vibe to it. Nice laid back vibe.
The same guy who did that video also did a video for this album, for the song Where You Go, for the Delaney and Horst album. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And why did you use that same person?
I don't know. He's a really talented guy. Mm-hmm. I think, like, he's also just a friend of mine too. So, like, I find it actually hard to work with people who I don't, like, know at, like, on a personal level. Like, I'm not really very professional. to just work with someone who's just, like, a good music or music video producer, like,
right.
It's almost the same thing as when, like, every so often I need to get, like, photos taken, you know, for something. And
yeah,
I always find it so awkward to get my photo taken. But if I know the person, then I can just kind of be myself.
Right. You can let your guard down and you can trust them just a little bit on something.
Yeah.
Well, but that is always the thing where it's been in any kind of industry where someone will push someone on. You go, well, this person has done this person, and the Rolling Stones, and we're lucky just to have time with them. And you're like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then
I would not do well in that situation.
Well, yeah, that's, I don't think a lot of people do well in those situations, because is it really about you? Is it more about having a name to your product?
Yeah.
You know, that type of association, right? So you strike me just by some of the stuff that we've just been talking about, that this is a very personal thing for you in doing your music. I read that it's described as organic electronic.
Yeah. That's a term I used more when I released the Sunset EP. Mm-hmm. And when I was first starting out, because at that time, which I think I started this project, which, by the way, Illitree is just, it's actually just me. It's not like...
I was going to ask that question, if you've had other people starting with you, or was it just, you know, just you all out?
Yeah, in the beginning, 2011, I think it's when we started, me and my friend Chester Eddington.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a joint project, and I was really getting into just, like, you know, music software, like Ableton Live and electronic tools to make music. But I really didn't want to just be like, I wasn't really interested in just making like dance music or something like that. I'd played guitar most of my life, you know, from like 12 years old on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have some sort of marriage between the two, which at the time I kind of thought was like novel and cool. And maybe in 2011, that wasn't explored nearly as much as it is now. So now I'm not as married to that idea, this idea of the electro organic thing, as I was. But I still like to make music that is like, you know, definitely has a lot of organic samples and sounds in it, but it's still electronic at its heart.
So that would be, so electro, or should say organic electro, what we're just talking about, is more along the lines of you starting out pre-Sunset EP, that you actually worked with a friend of mine, Michael Keir.
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of it. Now, I guess that's still a part of my, like, my ethos of how to create my stuff.
Right.
I don't think about it as much, though.
That would be the genesis of who you are now. And so mm-hmm. you do that progression from that into Dalineen Horses, I believe that's how you say Dalineen. You and I are both going to keep saying this differently yeah. for about 45 minutes. I guarantee it, Troy. I guarantee this.
I'm fine with that. Like, I'd say it Dalineen Horses.
Dalineen? Okay. Well, let's just agree on that one, Dalineen.
So, yeah.
but with the you show there has to be like a different style to anything. I mean, you couldn't just keep being electric or organic electric, that sort of thing. You have to like move forward or you would be bored, no?
Yeah. So I guess this is good for me to think about, actually. I don't think about this stuff as much as I just do it now, I guess. Like, I think maybe there was a time when I was trying to figure out, you know, what should I call my music in order to be able to promote it properly? Because you kind of need sort of different tag words and stuff.
Absolutely, to be able to, and social
media. To just simplify
media.
It. Yeah. But in I don't actually think about that stuff. Like, I never think, I need to make this more organic, or I need to balance this thing in a certain way. I just, like, make it. So, but now that I'm thinking of it, I can kind of, like, reflect and be like, what is it I'm trying to achieve here sonically? And I think it is still true. It's still true. I am trying to make a music that is made mostly with, like, electronic tools, you know, samplers and sequencers and software.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to make it, I'm out, kind of like the way you might make a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a mosaic, but a piece of art that's made out of a bunch of other pieces of art.
Sure, that's a good way to describe it, like the bits and pieces that kind of
Why is the word not coming? The word isn't coming to my mind. But yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to make it like.
Right.
Which is like a lot of hip hop music that's kind of the core idea there. Just like sampling a bunch of different sounds and just kind of like piecing them together into like a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to use that, but in a different sort of like ambient kind of way.
Well, you piece things together in the Sunset EP, because I mean, even when I was hooking up some of my gear over here to do this phoner with you, I was like, about an hour ago, like I had to do a bunch of stupid stuff, and like going, there has to be more to Illetri's music than just what I'm hearing right now. And that's when I found the Sunset EP, and then I just started playing it while I was doing stuff, and I was like going, oh, this is, you know, this is different. So, you know, I'm glad that we're having this conversation about the genesis of something. But you make a move from working with Michael Keir.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any other music you put out before the Sunset EP, though?
Well, maybe there's
like
one
singles,
sort of like,
those kind of things.
Oh, okay. I think I did. I scrubbed some things off the internet.
Oh, why did you do that? Like, what was the reasoning?
I had a song called actually. So when I first started working with Keir, I had a 10-song album that I was gonna release, and I think I released maybe 2 or 3 singles off that that were gonna be part of an eventual album, but then we just kind of like, I was just kind of being weird about it, and I wasn't sure what I actually wanted to make in the end, so
sure.
I wasn't super happy with some of them, so I just got rid of them. I was like, nope, never happened, moving right along.
It's like the rubbing of your hands. Okay, new day. Yeah, okay, yep.
Which I think is fine. Like, I've had people say, no, never take something off, just like, it's part of who you are, leave it up there.
Really?
And then I've had people like, yeah, just like, I don't know, I don't, if I don't like it, it's my music, and
absolutely.
I don't want people to, you know?
Yeah, I got kind of excited when you made the comment about I got rid of it, because it just shows that you're human, that you're just like, you know, you're evolving, but it doesn't mean that this is something that, like, you're not that person anymore, so why should it stay up there? And if you don't like it, ditch it, you know? Why do you need that kind of anxiety hanging around your head?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, like, you know?
like if I had printed it all or pressed it all to vinyl and people had it in their possession, it would just be out there and I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, reclaim those things from people.
Right.
But
yeah, I've spoken to people before where they're just like asking, you know, is there any way I can get that stuff back? I put a little too much of myself in there.
I
get it totally. So I can see why you were like going, yeah, I put some earlier stuff out, but that's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be happy with what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You know? So.
And I think, I still think that was probably the best decision. I think the Sunset EP, even though maybe like, you know, this many years later, I'm not very attached to it. I still think I'm happy with it in the sense that, like, it kind of represents a certain thing that I was exploring, trying to do like more like live drums with synths and, I don't know. I think it's good enough for me. It's out there.
I am
proud of this album that is out there right now, the Delinean Horses.
Yeah.
That I feel is, you know, I describe this sometimes with people. There's a song on the Sunset EP called Born.
Right.
And for me, like, I don't think that song, like, I don't hear, like, if I talk to people, it's never someone's like favorite song of mine. But for me, it's one of those songs that it just feels so good that I made it. Like, it feels like, I feel like I did with that song what I intended to do with it. And I don't really actually care if people like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, other songs, like let's say another song on that EP, like, I might be willing to even change the way it was produced based on, like, would it be more successful? Would it get more radio play if I did this to it? Okay, fine, I'll do that to it. And those are the songs that I don't actually ultimately feel attached to.
Right.
That's why the Sunset EP doesn't, I don't feel as attached to it.
what will my music do? How will it help them? Will it redeem them? Will it save them? Will it fight that battle for them? You know, it's just a song.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Whereas this whole album of Delaney Horses, I just feel like I'm very attached to it. I like exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Whether people like it or not, it doesn't matter to me.
I'm not going to change a thing, so forget it. You know, this is, you know, because this is my progress and work at this current time, so leave it alone. That's a great statement that you just made about I'm not attached to it, so if you want to change it and put it on radio, sure, but whatever. There it is, you know.
Yeah.
Inspiration for the new album, you go from Michael Keir doing producing it with you, and then moving on with Scott Orr. And I was doing some reading, and I started like I was just, you know, because it's like, okay, well, I gotta tell you, there's really not a whole lot about Illitry on the internet.
Right? Not now, no.
No, and that explains that comment you made earlier about, well, I did some scrubbing. And you can see that, you know, that I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, you know. Because even when you do that whole jump over, well, most local Hamilton artists and most artists in general will throw what they have on Facebook and then here it is and blah, blah, blah. But when I was flipping over to your website, I burst out laughing because I went, yeah, perfect. This is, you know, this is, there's no possible way you can do any research from this because it's a splash page. It's like, here's the name of the album. There's a picture of me in the background. This is the name. It's available. And this is where you can buy it. And I'm like, that's it. And I'm like going, yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's funny. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
that's
just
not
like,
actually intentional, but that's funny. Because I never think about how the industry, like what should be up there.
Right.
In order for people to be able to, like, anyone who's, like, actually curious about what I'm up to or whatever.
Sure. But with most with artists that are starting out, whenever they ask me, they go, hey, you know, what should I have on my page? I always say, well, you should have an electronic press kit, that sort of thing. Like, stuff of some of the links to articles that have been done about you that are, like, quotable, and just to give the interviewer a place to go to find out more about you. Right. But, and in the other sense to me where, you know, I always tell this to everyone, I don't interview. I just chat about, hey, why are you doing this? Why was this done that way? I like to just, because I'm a little bit older than you. Sometimes I just listen to music and go, oh, okay. That's a very cool line, or this sounds this way and I can identify with it. And you can have that, that conversation. But when I was reading back on Facebook, it was, you have it broken down to so many years of what you're doing. Read on the page. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's listening to our chat right now, yeah, go to Illitry's Facebook. And, like, there's pictures of you winning the Hamilton Arts Award, I think, back in June 2016, Emerging Artist, that sort of stuff. But it's, like, it's very drawn out. You do your Exclaim stage on with Supercrawl, that sort of stuff, like some live shows. You did a show that I wish I'd seen at Live Lab. I wish I had seen that.
Yeah, that was actually really cool. That was a crazy opportunity.
And what we're talking about is a laboratory that was built at Mac, I believe, 4 years ago now. And acoustically, it's amazing, and it deals with anyone can perform there, and anyone can trace how music is affecting the mind. Has all these different components to it, and as soon as I saw that, I went, oh man, I missed out on that. That I missed out on, you know. But what I was going to get to is the fact that you recorded some of the stuff here with Scott Orr, I believe, and then you went to Poland to finish it. And I'm curious about that, because it's like, did you just go to isolate yourself? Like, I have no excuses for not finishing this, so I'm going to go to Poland and do it.
Oh, I have, let me connect the dots here.
That'd be great.
I didn't record the album with Scott.
He just mixed it, did he?
He mixed, like, he had a little bit of mixing on everything, and some songs he mixed, he was more involved in, and he also mastered it. So he was kind of so basically, I really wanted to see if I could make an album that sounded really great just using my 2011 MacBook Pro and, you know, a modest collection of gear. I don't really have much, like, I don't have like a great studio here or whatever. I borrowed a decent mic from Scott and went to work at it. And so I did that all on my own. The Poland piece, yeah, that was, I feel like that's like the whole story, but I was at that time, I was dating a girl who lived, who was Polish, and she lived in Warsaw.
Sure.
And so I, like that relationship didn't work out, and I found that out on that trip, but I kind of like wanted to, I had the opportunity actually to take a bit of time off work. Right. So I thought, you know, why don't I just like go do something crazy and just move to another country, bring some of my stuff and also see if I can like, you know, make this relationship into something, you know, more long-term. That part didn't work.
But, none of your close friends stepped in and went, what are you doing? Where are you going? What are you doing? Like nobody said, this is a bad idea. Or were they just like going, no, man, go, just go. Write a book about this. This could be great. Could be a screenplay.
I think, oddly enough, my friends were pretty supportive of me doing it. And the ones who weren't, maybe were just like, they didn't tell me not to. They maybe were just staying there in shock of like, I don't know if it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, like I don't regret doing it, but it was definitely a good experience as far as, you know, generating more artistic material.
Oh, that is the thing, you know,
it turned into a kind of a very heartbreaking trip for me. And I feel like, you know, the next year or more after that, I was pretty down, but sometimes those down feelings do help generate great material. That wasn't why I did it. I wasn't trying to like,
I need to go and get dumped so I can write something.
Find pain. Yeah. Generate pain.
Yeah.
But, that's kind of it. And I didn't like when I was in Poland, like I wasn't nearly as productive as I wanted to be or thought that I would be, mostly because I think I was just like, this is an interesting time in life. Is, you know, I'd never been to the Eastern Europe. Like, I guess I had been a little bit, but not for 3 months.
Right.
So, yeah. Then I came back and I really got to work, and I did generate a couple new songs out of that experience. And I also started to, get this more cohesive idea for the album, because I didn't even have a name, Lithuanian Horses, and I didn't have a theme until I came home from that. Maybe 6 months after, I was like, oh, I can start to see some themes in my own music. They're not just a bunch of songs that I'm kind of smooshing together into, you know, an album, but I'm just like, I'm noticing, I'm now like psychoanalyzing myself and noticing that like I actually am constantly writing about the same thing.
That must be very hard to always to be writing on the same subject matter constantly. Like sometimes you need a little closure in life, right? To write about something else.
I think so, and that's another reason why I feel kind of good about this album, because I feel like in some sense this album did bring closure to a lot of various loose ends.
Sure.
In my life.
We were just discussing about you took some ideas and songs and you went over there to pursue a relationship with someone, and you were there for 3 months, but you didn't actually do anything as far as like sitting down and putting this, like making songs. You just took that experience and then put this album together.
Well, I did create a couple songs. I think Hedge My Bets was created while I was there. Yeah, and maybe I won't go into the details of my entire trip, but like I think that like just knowing that song came out of a time of like, you know, trying to kind of like a great risk that I feel I took in a certain sense.
Yeah. Well, you have to take some risks in life just in order to enjoy life. That's what life is, right?
I think so.
You know, so
that's why I look back at the whole thing and I'm like, it's good. I'm glad I did it.
good. Yeah. You're in a comfortable spot in your life now, and you lived through that experience, and with it, you were able to turn it into your art form for people to enjoy. I have a question, though, about Polish Rose. I am not, even though I think the bulk of, since I was in my early 20s, even before that, I've always been involved in music in some capacity, booker, promoter, tour manager, blah, 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 all those other nonsense that you learn through the industry radio. And when I was listening to Polish Rose, I was listening to the beginning of it. And you just said to me earlier when we were chatting that, you know, you were bringing guitar into some software kind of vibe in your beginning. I could hear, now maybe this is just my brain and I'm just jumping all over the place, but was there an intentional sound of an Eastern European guitar sound in the beginning of Polish Rose?
Interesting.
Or am I so completely off base? You can go Gunner. No, that was just the software. I just programmed it that way.
Well,
I don't even know the name of the guitar. I can see it, Troy, but I can't even name it.
No, there's not like a specialized instrument in there. I'm wondering how geeky I should get into explaining like some of the like atmospheric-y sounds or whatever. I'm just thinking about all these like, in some ways, like, part of me is like, I don't even want to answer that question. I'd rather you think that that's what I did.
You know, I was actually told that a long time ago from an artist who said, sometimes just let them think what they want to think because they're going to enjoy it more that way. And they're just not going to know that I didn't care. This is just how I did and that's how it came out, right? Sometimes it's better for the person just to build it up in their mind. And that's what I did, but I just thought I should ask him that because it's titled Polish Rose. He went and I read that he went over there, and then now I'm thinking, you know, in our conversation there was a girl involved, so now I'm building up this whole storyline in my brain, right?
Yeah. And then I don't want to ruin that beautiful story. It's much cooler than me being like, I use granular synthesis to process some acoustic guitar.
So that's what it was? That was the meaning behind the song, or that wasn't intentional to make it sound like
I did not. I at least consciously did not. I wasn't trying to make it sound like any particular thing. I just was like, it was an acoustic ballad, and I was like,
"Right,
this is my first time like putting a song out there that was kind of ballady in that sense."
Mm-hmm.
I've also really like atmospheric kind of ambient textures, and I've been screwing around with that stuff, and I just wanted to make it dreamy, and that was my intention. But I like your story much better.
We have to crumble. Just as your eyes shut, I feel these oceans. This is our silent moment. These are our kissing tongues. We can walk through fields together, but baby, we can run. We can have it all. We can have it all. It's pale on the surface, it's just beyond the wall. We can have it all. We can have it all. We can have it all. First we
when you walk into a club and you see a band that blows you away, you are going to follow that band. You're going to either buy their CD or you're going to find them online or you're going to see them the next time they come to play. You don't have to stand in line at the song contest on TV to become a f***ing popular musician.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to go with then. For any future interviews, we will write that up, put that in there, and then just have them run with that, that sort of thing. Just leave it alone.
Yes.
Hey, the whole album, you put it together, and you have Scott working with you on it. You finish it up. When is the point where you just let the air out of your system, where you just go, whew? Like, when is that feeling? When does that come for you? Like, okay, it's done. I feel okay.
Well, okay. Scott, number one, I really need to say some nice things about Scott, because I don't think I would have ever completed this album without somebody like that involved.
Right.
I needed someone, like, I think there was a couple times we were trying to figure out a process, how we were going to work together. And I was like, okay, so I'm like recording and producing and I'm, you know, bringing the mix 80% of the way there. And then I send the pieces over to him. He kind of finishes the mix off and masters it. And we do that a couple times. And then naturally, my personality is just like, well, I don't know about that. I think we could probably, maybe I need to bring the level of this down. Actually, I'm going to remove that part. I'll just endlessly tinker away at the song. But I think Scott was eventually just like, okay, you can do that. But once it's mastered, it's done.
So, oh, that's so unfair.
Yeah, but it's like once it's mastered, like you let it go. And I actually think, for me, I just need that. I need to know, yeah. Like, okay, once, kind of like, actually, now that I'm in school, it's like once you submit your project, you don't email the professor and be like, oh, actually, I got a couple little changes.
No, or, it's over.
It's submitted. And so, like, in the process of making music as just a solo musician, when really is that point? You have to kind of make that up yourself. And for me, Scott created just sort of a, like, this is the end. It's in some way it's arbitrary. It's not like we couldn't go back and change something, but once something is done, and having him do that, that I think once I had done that with all 10 songs, I was just like, this is done. It's done.
It's done.
Bring out the whiskey.
That's a great line. Bring out the whiskey. Attaboy, get yourself some proper whiskey on the go, or some copper pot. That's
I do. I keep a bottle, a really nice bottle of Lagavulin Scotch.
Right.
Just for the odds. Like I don't. I'm doing it like less than once a year. I think I had a little bit of for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to shut her down. So that's done.
Yeah.
And okay, so it's out there. And I think when did that all happen for you? The release was that. October of last year, I believe. Was that around there? Is that right? Or was it just before October?
The release day, I think, we put it up on October 2nd, yeah. I think.
And then, okay, so you now how do you share your music with people? It's like, here it is. When we were just talking about your website static page, or are you sending messages to people that follow the genre of the music that you built up as an artist, or that sort of thing? Like, do you use radio pluggers, or do you use blogs? Do you just let it sit?
I honestly am not. I just don't know how to do that part of music. I've used like Auteur Research in the past for like promoting stuff.
They're
really good.
They're great.
Yeah, they're
great. Absolutely. And I'd recommend them to anybody.
Yeah, and I think it might have been a good idea. It might have it definitely would have had further reach if I had used them. I didn't really have the money, so I wasn't. I didn't pay anyone for promotion.
Yeah.
I basically just put it out on my own social media and.
Funny that when I was listening to your music and the some of the stuff is it's atmospheric that you say, and to me it also has a heavy visual context to it, where I feel that if I was to see you, and I wish I was at the Live Lab show, as I regrettably said earlier, that I could almost picture you with some of your friends performing in Europe. In front of thousands of people at a castle or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it fits
that. Cool.
It fits that
I
vibe.
Love that.
You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, here's the music, but we made this visual context of what this is, and it's to me, it's like, because you're performing for Winterfest that's coming up here in Hamilton,
Yeah.
And this bloody pandemic has, you know, the lockdown has made everyone switch the gears like 22,000 times a day. And then I was hoping to see you outside with the visuals, but now it's going to be all done online. For everyone's safety, of course, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a pre-recorded show that you're putting together to stream?
Yeah, it just that just changed in the last couple of weeks or whatever, when the official lockdown measures were put in place.
Yeah.
So up until then, it was going to be a live broadcast that was going to be projected onto, I don't remember which park, but yeah, now we're actually just going to live. We're just going to record it next week and then just.
And with that stream, how long do you know how long your stream is going to be? Is it a half hour, an hour, or anything like that? Because it happens on January 30th.
That's a good question. I think I still have to time my set, but I'm aiming for it to be somewhere between like probably around 45 minutes, maybe around the length of the album.
So just the cuts off the most recent one, nothing from earlier.
That I don't know yet. I'm still. I might throw another one in.
Right.
So this particular show, I'm actually going to perform it solo, which I have never really done, except for one time when I illegally performed in Manhattan.
Really?
But that was not a very. That was like a very simplified version of the set. So I'm gonna. Yeah, this is going to be a solo set. It's going to be more acoustic-y, a little gentler. It's not going to have as... I don't think I'm going to do like my kind of dancier numbers.
Beside me.
It's weird when I listen to the earlier stuff and then the progression you show. When you say that the term dancer, I mean, I get it. To me, that's like, that's why I could actually envision you. I don't even know why you're living here. I just picture your music and you're touring Europe and other countries because they seem to absorb it, and they make it bigger. Like there's so many people that follow it compared to
North America. I agree. Honestly, if I could have lined up, and I've tried to line up some relationship with like a booking agent or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. I honestly don't know how to crawl up the ladder of the music industry. I'm very disenchanted with the music industry.
I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. It's just when I hear it, I just go, oh, I picture this, this, and this. Why not this individual, right? Like, this is,